This is your ultimate stop for everything sports. The Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast. Should I say more? From the NFL, MLB, the NBA, to MMA. It's all in here. The Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast. Listen now.
And welcome to the GSMC Sports Podcast. This episode is brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. And as always, I am your host, Jesse Tapia. All right, it's the end of the week. It's Friday, everyone's favorite day. Here's what we got going on today. Okay, we got Warriors-Rockets recap for Game 5. Got a lot of thoughts to give about that game. Second segment, we got a Champions League final preview we're going to be doing. All right, that game's going to be taking place tomorrow. Can't wait for that one. Champions League final usually is always the best. Third segment. Okay, there's a lot of storylines surrounding this Cavs-Celtics Game 6. All right, can Boston close out the series? Is this going to be LeBron's last home game in Cleveland? All right, so we're going to talk about it all and pretty much touch on each little thing about that game. And then for the fourth segment, we'll be talking about anything else going on in the world of sports. All right, so that's how the show's going to go. It's going to be a fun one. I'm going to enjoy it. You're going to enjoy it. Everyone's going to enjoy it. All right. So, like I said, okay, we were heading into Game 5 with the Rockets and Warriors tied 2-2. Honestly, a bit surprising for me. I figured that the Warriors were going to win this series in 5. I underestimated the Rockets big time here. All right, and I guess I probably just underestimated Chris Paul. I mean, that guy has been lights out the last two games for the Rockets. It's been ridiculous, okay, with him hitting just shots where no one in this world has any business hitting, all right, to him playing well on defense, him running the offense well. I mean, he's been the best player for the Rockets in this series, and I feel like we should all understand that, all right? But anyway, for Game 5, like I said, this one took place in Houston, and Houston won this one. 98-94. Would you look at that? That's back-to-back close games. All right. It's about time. Hopefully we get a close one tonight in Cleveland. I'm not sure. I mean, it seems that the road team just forgets how to play basketball over there out east, so we'll see. But nonetheless, like I said, Rockets win this one 98-94 for the Warriors. You had Draymond Green with 12 points, 4 assists, 15 rebounds, 1 steal, and 6 turnovers. He was a minus 9 out there. He shot 4 of 9, 1 of 2 from the 3-point line. Kevin Durant had 29 points, 4 rebounds, shot 8 of 22, 3 of 6 from the 3-point line. Kevin Looney had 4 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, shot 2 of 2. Steph Curry played 41 minutes. He had 22 points, 6 assists, 4 steals, 7 rebounds, shot 8 of 17, 2 of 8 from the 3-point line. And then you had Klay Thompson, the last of the starting 5, with 23 points, 4 rebounds, shot 8 of 14, 4 of 7 from the 3-point line. Off the bench, I mean, there was no bench production in this one, okay? The bench combined for 4 points. You had David West, who played 12 minutes. He only took one shot. He missed that one. Jordan Bell played 14 minutes. He got one shot off. He hit that one, so he finished with 2 points, 4 rebounds, and an assist. Quinn Cook played 8 minutes, went 0 of 3 from the field. Sean Livingston played 18 minutes, which was the most off the bench. He had 2 points, shot 1 of 3, and then Nick Young played about a minute. He didn't get any shots off there. All right, no JaVale McGee, no Zaza Pachulia. And then for the Rockets, you had Trevor Ariza with only 6 points. He shot 1 of 6, 1 of 4 from the 3-point line, made 3 out of his 4 free throws. He had 2 rebounds, 1 assist, and 3 steals. PJ Tucker had 8 points, 9 rebounds, shot 3 of 6, 2 of 4 from the 3-point line. Clint Capella had 12 points, 14 rebounds, also had 2 blocks. He shot 5 of 6 from the field. Then you had Chris Paul with 20 points, 6 assists, 3 steals, 7 rebounds, shot 6 of 19 from the field, 4 of 9 from the 3-point line. And Chris Paul in that first half really didn't play well at all. All right, but once the second half came, it's like something, I don't know, something clicked. And that's something that we usually never see with CP3 in the playoffs, especially in the big game moments, all right? But nonetheless, yeah, he played well. He had one shot where Steph's guarding him, and it just seems like CP3 throws it up. That goes in. Of course, we've seen Steph shimmy all over the place because of the fact that he has shots like no weather this series. But then it was pretty nice because you got CP3 shimmying around him too. All right. Then we had James Harden. James Harden's been bad. He's been real bad. All right. CP3 has always had this little notion of he doesn't come up big when it matters most in the playoffs. He's seeming to get away from that. James Harden is pretty much just the definition of that. All right. James Harden is struggling to shoot the ball. He says it doesn't matter because they're winning, but nonetheless, I mean, it's going to matter if you can't hit your shots for game six. He finished with 19 points, 4 assists, 2 steals, 3 rebounds, had 6 turnovers, shot 5 of 21 from the field, 0 of 11 from 3. All right. This is a problem. Okay. Because fact of the matter is, CP3, he's going to be missing game 6. And we're going to talk more about that in a bit. But he'll be back for game 7 if there is a game 7, if the Rockets don't close out. But CP3 isn't going to be 100%. Okay, and I think we all need to realize that. A hamstring injury is something that you deal with for a few weeks. Okay, Jaylen Brown dealt with his hamstring injury. Barely got back into the starting five once this Cleveland series got here. All right. So now with James Harden, it's a matter of he doesn't really have a choice, okay? It is a big deal that he's not making his shots because if CP3 is missing out with a hamstring injury, Harden's got to go out and be the best player on the floor, okay? And if you're paying attention to the game, I mean, some of the shots that he's taking are just brutal, all right? Hand in his face, ISO ball the entire time. I mean, it's ridiculous. And if you're at 1.07 from three, it's time to stop taking threes and getting to the foul line. All right, because obviously the shot's not falling. Okay, but like I said, I mean, now, actually, let me get into the bench for the Rockets, and then we'll get into the rest. So on the bench, you had Eric Gordon, who played 36 minutes, had 24 points, 2 steals and a block, 4 rebounds, shot 6 of 15, 3 of 10 from the three-point line. And then you had Gerald Green, who played well, had 9 points, 1 rebound, shot 3 of 5 in 16 minutes. All right, but getting back to it, I mean, James Harden's got to figure out that jump shot. He's got to do something, okay? This is not the time for James Harden to pretty much crawl into a little hole and just be useless as far as this team, all right? But as far as the game goes itself for Game 5, the Warriors, I feel like the Rockets were in control of this one the entire way. Now, like, not the entire way where they're just dominating, but more so where you felt like the Rockets had a good shot at winning this one, all right? The Warriors started off cold in the first half, weren't really playing too well. Rockets didn't really do enough to take advantage of that, but nonetheless, I saw something different in the Rockets, all right? And it might have just been their effort, which very well could just be it, all right? But we have another problem with the Warriors as far as their late-game management, as far as who's getting the ball, all right? There's about 7 seconds left, and you got Steph bringing it down the court. He passes it to Draymond, and Draymond flat-out just loses the ball, all right? And I'm sure that it wasn't just a matter of Steph was going to let Draymond take the last shot. They had some type of play they were going to run. But there's a point where enough is enough. Give the ball to Steph and let him do his thing as far as the final few seconds of the game. Okay? I feel like Draymond Green, in these clutch moments, anytime he touches the ball, seems to falter. All right? And I've seen him do it a few times. It's not like this is an every time type of thing, but I've seen him do it a couple times. Keep the ball in your best player's hands, whether that be KD or Steph, it doesn't matter, okay? Because going back to game 4, when you had KD who had the ball, he passes it out to Klay. Why are you passing it out to Klay? Okay? This Warriors team, when it comes to crunch time, needs to be a little bit more selfish. I understand that everyone needs to touch the ball and all that, but there's no reason to run a play where you got to give Draymond Green the ball. There's literally no point, all right? And obviously, I mean, I'm sure they had something nice drawn up or whatever. Like I said, it just doesn't matter. Keep the ball in Steph's hands or have him give it to KD. Klay shouldn't touch it. Draymond shouldn't touch it. No one else on that team should touch that ball. Unless maybe it's Klay who's where you got Steph driving in, draws two defenders, and you got Klay on the three-point line waiting for it wide open. That's the only time Klay should ever get the last shot. All right? Draymond Green has no business touching the ball in the final few seconds. He's a great player, but that's just fact of the matter. He doesn't need the ball. He's not going to go up for a shot. All right. And like I said, what's the point of running a play if he's going to lose the ball? All right. So with the Warriors, I mean, they can't really be too worried or anything because of the fact that CP3 is going to be out of Game 6 with that hamstring strain. And this is one where the Warriors catch a break, okay? I understand, and I've been seeing people say, too, that, I mean, there's no difference with the Rockets being without CP3 because they've been out without Andre Iguodala. There's a difference, and I don't really get this with Warriors fans, okay? I don't really think that you get to complain about players being out when the guy who's out isn't even a top five player on your team. Actually, he might be the fifth best player, considering Steph, Clay, KD, and Draymond. Then after that, I guess you could put Iggy. But nonetheless, you still have four top 20 players. Okay, I get that Andre Iguodala is an important piece to this team. But when you got two top five players and the rest who you could argue are in the top 15, talking about Clay and Draymond, yeah, I'm not going to take the whole, oh, Andre's out, so that's why they're struggling. No, that's not good enough, okay? When you got players like that, there shouldn't be a difference, okay? I get that he's a great defender and all that, but it doesn't matter to me, okay? There's a difference between that and the Rockets losing arguably their best player of this series, okay? CP3 has been about as consistent as you can be. James Harden has had a couple of big games. Other than that, he's looked pretty bad, all right? And he's looked bad in their last two wins. So there is a difference, and I'd say that the Rockets losing CP3 hurts them way more than it'd be the Warriors losing Andre Iguodala. All right? So now we just got to wait and see. I mean, you got to think that the Warriors are going to win Game 6 now that CP3 is not going to be playing. Okay? I mean, that's got to be the majority decision there, just given how James Harden has played the last two games. And if James Harden, I mean, he does have an opportunity to pretty much get rid of all the, he's not good in clutch games, like in big games or anything like that, if we were to go out and play. And, like, I don't think anyone's really expecting the Rockets to go out and win Game 6. I think we're all waiting for a Game 7 here, all right? And like I said, I mean, if James Harden doesn't find his shot, Rockets don't really have a chance at winning this series, just given the fact that CP3 is not going to be 100% when he's out there, okay? If CP3 didn't get this hamstring injury or whatever and he was good to go, I'd almost argue that the Rockets could win Game 6, given how they've played. All right, at least Game 7 possibly. But now it's just a matter of, I mean, he's not going to be 100% once Game 7 comes. It seems like this hamstring injury is a little bit worse than what we're seeing. So, yeah, James Harden's going to have to step up, but we're going to have to wait and see if he's able to do that, which will be on tomorrow, actually, on Saturday. So, that's all I got to say about that. Right now, Rockets are up 3-2. You got to imagine that the Warriors win Game 6 and we come back to Game 7 for Monday in Houston. So we'll leave it at that. Next up, we'll be talking Champions League final between Liverpool and Real Madrid. Give my thoughts on it all. So stay tuned and I'll be right back.
Are you looking for the very best NFL and college football podcast? Then check out the GSMC Football Podcast. Get the latest football news both on and off the field. From the NFL draft to trades to the rumor mill to the NFL combines, they got you covered. That's gsmcpodcast.com/football-podcast. Get updates on college rivalries, game day insights, and much, much more. It's football talk the way you want it. This show eats, sleeps, and breathes football. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
All right, and welcome back to the GSMC Sports Podcast. We spent that first segment talking about Game 5 between the Rockets and Warriors, and Rockets keep proving me wrong. I'll give them that. All right. I have severely underestimated this team. And I think more so, I've severely underestimated Chris Paul. All right. James Harden, I mean, he's just James Harden. Okay. You got him after the games talking about how him missing shots isn't a big deal because they're winning. Yeah, they're winning in spite of your bad play, okay? James Harden's got to understand that he's the best player on this team and he needs to play like it. You're not one of those guys where you can go out and have a bad game, but it's okay because other guys are going to pick you up. All right, you're not going to have CP3 there for game six. So I really hope he figures out this jump shot, because if not, I mean, they're losing in seven. All right. And I'd say that the Rockets would have a good shot, but it's just with CP3 dealing with a hamstring injury, like I said, that's not going to be 100% by the time game seven gets here. All right. If he's missing Saturday's game because of the hamstring injury, what makes you think that he'll be good to go 2 days later? All right. It just doesn't work that way. Unless they got some crazy little type of medicine going on over in Houston, which I don't think they do. All right. So, yeah, we talked about that. Like I said, it was, what, 98, 94 or something like that? And Golden State had a couple of opportunities to go out and tie the game up or at least take the lead, but it's just they faltered. All right. But like I said, I mean, I do expect them to go out and win game six, given that CP3 is not playing and given that it's going to be back in Oakland. So, I'm sure we'll be back here on Monday in Houston for Game 7. All right, that's enough Rockets-Warriors talk. Now, we're going to head over to a different sport. We're going to talk some soccer. Okay, we got the Champions League final between Liverpool and Real Madrid on Saturday, taking place at 11:45 a.m. Pacific time. That's what, 2:45 Eastern time? So, going into this final, it seems that the talk is how outmatched Liverpool are. Okay. And I get that. I mean, when you're going up a team consisting of Ronaldo, Benzema, Bale, or Asensio, if not Benzema, all right, then Cruz, Modric, Casemiro, okay, in the midfield. And then you got Ramos, Carvajal, Marcelo back there, along with Keylor Navas. Sure. All right. On paper, it does look like Liverpool are the weaker team and aren't good enough to compete with Real Madrid. All right. But that's the thing right there. We don't play on paper. All right. I don't think anyone has ever played on paper. So that works out in Liverpool's favor. Liverpool still have a squad of their own and a decent one at that, a very good one at that. Okay. You got Mane, Firmino, and Mohamed Salah, who have arguably been probably the best attacking front three in all of the world. I think that might help them in their favor. Okay. You got James Milner, Jordan Henderson, Wijnaldum. Very decent midfield. All right. And then the defense, you got Andrew Robertson, Virgil van Dijk, Dejan Lovren, and then Trent Alexander-Arnold, who, of course, these aren't the big names of a Danny Carvajal, a Varane, Ramos, or Marcelo, but nonetheless, these are guys who are here for a reason. Okay, and that's one thing that I think everyone needs to understand is that Liverpool didn't just get here by accident. Okay, let's not forget the beatdown that they put on the Premier League champions to get here. Well, obviously, you played Roma to get here, but nonetheless, you get what I'm saying. It was a step on the way. All right. So I don't think that it's as big a mismatch as everyone's pointing it out to be. Okay, we got two great managers in Zidane and Klopp going up against each other. And it just seems that, I don't know, maybe Klopp realizes that Madrid is the better team because he's made comments saying that they can bring Real Madrid down to their level. All right. And, I mean, it's just a matter of, and you see Zidane too, pretty much talking, I guess just trying to talk Madrid down a bit just to keep them, I guess, level-minded, level-headed. Okay, because when you do got it, when you are trotting out a team with Cristiano Ronaldo and all the top players in the world, I mean, and plus you've won, what, three out of the last four Champions League, four out of the last five, I think, something like that. Of course, you're going to think, you know what, we are the kings of Europe, which Madrid has been. All right. But nonetheless, I mean, you do need to be level-headed in for a game like this. All right, Liverpool's not a team that Madrid should underestimate. I've seen that the Spanish papers are pretty much already writing off Liverpool and giving the trophy to Madrid already. All right. But like I said, I think it's going to be a good game here. I don't think it's going to be one where Madrid entirely dominates, and I don't think Liverpool is good enough to the point where they'd be able to dominate a team like Real Madrid. All right. And this is also a big game for Mohamed Salah. Okay. With the season that he's had, he's pretty much inserted himself as far as being a top three player in the nation, or in the world, I should say. Okay. Of course, you still got guys like Neymar and all that up there, but Mohamed Salah has seen his name thrown around in the same sentence as a guy like Cristiano Ronaldo and Lionel Messi. Okay. And I'm fine with it, I guess, with him being up there. He's not better than Messi or Ronaldo. Okay. And that's just pure facts right there, honestly. All right. Because they've been doing what Mohamed Salah has been doing for about the better part of a decade. All right. And well, with Mohamed Salah, if you want to be regarded as one of the best players in the world, then games like this is where you need to step up. Okay. And again, I'm fine with people talking about how him being like one of the top players in the world and all that, but there's a point where, I mean, Liverpool really haven't won anything so far. Okay, you finished fourth in the Premier League, didn't win the FA Cup, didn't win the League Cup. This is all that's left. And of course, I know for most Liverpool fans, I'm sure this being in the Champions League final comes as a bit of a surprise. I'm not sure that they expected him to make it this far. All right. But fact of the matter is, if Mohamed Salah wants to continue being put up there with the greats that we currently watch in Messi and Ronaldo, he's got to win. All right. And there's no other way around it. We can't just crown a guy up there for doing something for one season. All right. But as far as the game itself goes, I mean, I think it's, like I said, it's going to be a close one. I think it's going to be a high scoring one. Both of these defenses play well, but it's a matter of these are probably the best two front three attacking teams that we've seen. Okay. And I mean, like I said, it all honestly just comes down to how Liverpool's outside backs do against guys like Ronaldo and Bale. All right. I guess just how the defense does against those guys. Because you can see Ronaldo coming into the central, playing a central role, or even Bale. All right. And like I said, with Liverpool, I think it's a bit disrespectful to pretty much write them off already. All right. And honestly, for my prediction on this game, I got Liverpool winning 3-2. All right. This is the final that I've been looking forward to. I think when the quarterfinals were announced, I wanted Barca versus Real Madrid. Obviously, we didn't get that. So when the semifinals got here and I saw the matchups, I wanted Madrid and Liverpool. All right. And this is going to be a good match because, I mean, who would you consider the best manager out of the two? Zidane or would it be Klopp? Okay. Klopp has been here before, as has Zidane. Klopp's been here with a lesser team, but then again, I mean, coaching Real Madrid is a tough job where you got to deal with the best players in the world, but also deal with their egos and make sure that everyone's on the same page here. I mean, it's such a tough job to do that, I mean, if you don't produce results instantly, then you're getting fired. Okay, and I even think this season, Zidane's job status was up in question, which is a little ridiculous, but I do get it just given that they didn't play well at all in La Liga. But nonetheless, here they are in the Champions League final getting ready to go. All right. And like I said, I do got Liverpool winning this one 3-2. And it's just a matter of, that's a very high scoreline, but this is a gut pick right here. Okay. Logically, of course, Madrid is the better team, top to bottom, from the starting 11 to the bench. Liverpool's a team who have great strikers, great wingers. All right, but ideally have not been in this situation in quite some time. I think last time was like, what, 2005 when they played Milan, I think it is. All right, so now it's just a matter of you're waiting to see what Liverpool team we're going to get. Okay, because, I mean, towards the end of the Premier League season, we saw Klopp resting some players and stuff like that. He's pretty much been preparing for this one game. All right, so now it's just a matter of whether or not Liverpool's going to be able to execute. Okay. And if Mohamed Salah really wants to be regarded as a top player in the world, he's got to go out and prove it in games like these. Okay. I understand that he's been tearing up the Premier League, but now you're playing the best of the best over here in the Champions League. All right. So we'll wait and see how it all ends up. Like I said, the game's going on tomorrow at 11:45. I do got Liverpool winning 3-2. Okay. Which is a very out there pick, I'd feel. Like I said, I've seen more people picking Madrid than anyone else. And rightfully so. Madrid, as of right now, is the better team. Okay? They do have the best players. And I'm just hoping that we end up getting a good final. I remember when Barcelona and Juventus played in the Champions League final, and it was just one where Barcelona just simply dominated the entire time. All right, I'm hoping we're not getting something like that rather than, like I said, a close 3-2 game or whatever. All right, it's going to be very interesting, though, to see how it all ends up. Like I said, I got Liverpool winning 3-2, so we're going to wrap it up here. Next up, we're going to be talking Celtics-Cavs, Game 6 coming up tonight at 5:30 Pacific time. So we'll be talking about that, talk about possibly this could be LeBron's last game in Cleveland, talk about Ty Lue a bit, and talk about the Celtics a bit. So stay tuned for that, and I will be right back.
Check out the show that's built on the MMA. From the UFC to extreme cage fighting, they got the fights covered. Check out the GSMC MMA podcast. Get the latest news on past or upcoming fights. Join us as we talk to and about some of the biggest names in the MMA, past, present, and future. When it's the fight game, there's just one show to check out. GSMCpodcast.com/MMA-podcast. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
Welcome back to the GSMC Sports Podcast. So far today, we've talked Warriors-Rockets Game 5. CP3 is going to be out for Game 6 on Saturday due to a hamstring strain. I mean, honestly, that's the worst possible thing that could have happened to the Rockets, given that James Harden hasn't been shooting the ball well and that CP3 has easily been their best player so far in this series. All right. I mean, just given the shots that he was hitting all series long and even the last two games, I mean, that's going to be a big problem for him. I see it coming back down to Monday for Game 7 in Houston. I think it's going to come down to that. And, I mean, even then, so you're not going to have 100% CP3. Okay? It's just, there's no way that's possible. So James Harden's really got to step up. Okay? He's saying it doesn't really bother him that he's not shooting the ball well or anything like that because they're winning. Yeah, you're winning because of Chris Paul. You don't have Chris Paul for Game 6. All right. So there's going to be a lot of pressure on James Harden, and I'm not really sure that anyone's expecting them to go out and win Game 6, given that they're without CP3. But at least a game where Harden's out there shooting the ball well and keeping him in it would be a little encouraging, just given that they probably will be playing Game 7, like I said. So we'll see what ends up happening there. We also talked Champions League final, previewed that, Liverpool versus Madrid. Seems that everyone's picking Madrid, and I understand why. I mean, they are the better team. But my pick is Liverpool. I have them winning 3-2. All right. And we're going to see if Mohamed Salah really is one of the best players in the world. Okay. You want to be regarded as one? You got to win the big games or at least play well. All right. Because, of course, it is a team game. And in order to get a trophy, you need to play well as a team. All right. That's one thing I never really understood with soccer, too, is that players, as far as how great they are, it's always about pretty much how well you played and how many trophies you have, all right? When in reality, it is just a team game, all right? You can't win a trophy as an individual, which I think is a little unfair to Messi, given that we already know what kind of player he is, okay? I don't understand why him needing to win a major trophy with Argentina would elevate that, all right? Of course, him winning a World Cup would be great. But nonetheless, we already know what kind of player he is, okay? Winning a trophy, I mean, and again, this is just my opinion. I know trophies are very highly regarded and all that, but I don't know. But either way, like I said, I got Liverpool winning 3-2. And I'm sure I sound like a Ronaldo hater since I brought up Messi and picked against Madrid, but I'll let you know I'm not. Okay. So we talked about that, and like I said, now we're going to be talking Celtics-Cavs Game 6 coming up tonight. And, I mean, this series has been one where the home team is the best team and the road team is the worst team. Okay, no team has won a road game yet. Celtics just have looked about as bad as they could so far this postseason on the road. I believe they're currently 1-6 on the road. Okay, last team that made it to the finals after winning only two road games in the postseason before that. Well, not the postseason before, but before reaching to the finals was the 2008 Celtics. All right, and it kind of seems like this game, it's kind of one of those where it's tied to destiny. All right, let's not forget the first time LeBron left Cleveland, who eliminated him in the playoffs that year was the Celtics. Okay, and sports has a weird way of working out that way, if you've paid attention to it. All right, but nonetheless, I mean, as far as, like I said, the series goes, it seems that like the key for the Celtics is when Jason Tatum is playing about as well as he can be, there's no stopping the Celtics. When Al Horford's playing well, it's tough to beat him. Okay, and with the Cavs, it's a matter of if Ty Lue knows his rotations and is pretty much just playing the players that need to be out there, it's tough to beat the Cavs. Okay? And that's pretty much, honestly, what it comes down to for me, I feel. I mean, we all know that LeBron's going to go out and get his. We all know that LeBron's going to go out and play well. Okay? But it's a matter of when you're playing Jeff Green nearly 30 minutes in a game and Kyle Korver only about 19, I think it was, that's a problem. Okay? Kyle Korver has been killing teams all postseason long, and it's just ridiculous to me how Ty Lue won't play the guy because Semi Ojeleye isn't coming off the bench. Like, does that make any sense to anyone? Like, is there anyone out there that rationally understands what he's saying and could explain it to me? Because that'd be a great help. All right. I mean, it's a point where you got to get it together. Okay. I mean, they got rid of David Blatt for this guy, and they got rid of David Blatt when they had the best record in the East. Which, in hindsight, probably wasn't the best move, because I think we could all agree that David Blatt is a better coach than Ty Lue. But it just seemed one where LeBron wasn't getting along with Blatt, so he told him to get the boot. Alright? But as far as Ty Lue goes, I mean, it just seems like he confuses himself as far as making in-game adjustments and all that. Alright? Ty Lue as an assistant coach, probably one of the best in the league. Okay, and I feel the same way about Tom Thibodeau. Tom Thibodeau, the head coach, not too fond of. But if Tom Thibodeau is an assistant, I think he does well. And that's just the way it is for some. That's just the way it is for some coaches. All right, some are better suited to be behind the scenes, the assistant guys, and some are better running the show. All right, but as far as this game goes, I mean, what it comes down to tonight is, I guess, just Boston. Okay, if Boston comes out flat in the first quarter like they've done, I mean, that digs you a big hole and you really don't got a shot. Okay, and as far as Cleveland, I mean, got to get the right lineups out there. I'm watching game five and I'm thinking there's no way this guy's actually playing Jeff Green and Jordan Clarkson all these minutes. Jordan Clarkson was actually all right. I don't think he shot the ball relatively well, but he did get buckets in certain good spots. Okay, I mean, playing a lineup where you got Jeff Green, J.R. Smith on the same floor isn't really going to work out. All right. And this is one where, I mean, is LeBron even going to come out of the game tonight? This is obviously a do-or-die game for Cleveland. Boston has absolutely zero pressure on them. Okay, because if you lose tonight, oh, wow, you get to go back to game seven. You got a game seven, but that's back at home. Okay. This could go two different ways. It's either Cleveland wins, they fight to live another day. Or if they lose, this could be the beginning of the end for this franchise as far as winning goes. Okay? Because I will tell you this much, LeBron isn't coming back to Cleveland unless they win a title. Alright? And let me tell you this, they're not winning a title. You think LeBron's going to want to come back to the Cavs where they just lost to a team with a bunch of first and second year players and a couple of veterans? I don't think so. All right, this could very well be LeBron James's last home game in Cleveland. But of course, I'm sure we said the same thing back in 2012 when he left, or 2011, whenever it was. All right. And sure enough, he ended up coming back. But fact of the matter is, I mean, for Cleveland, it's a point of you lose, LeBron's gone, you still got all that money tied up in Tristan Thompson. Kevin Love is gone. All right, J.R. Smith seems to have lost a step. Korver's about 37 years old, I think. Larry Nance, I mean, in reality, was just a fourth, fifth option on the Lakers. Jordan Clarkson, same thing with him. Rodney Hood just doesn't seem to fit in with his team too much. All right, this could be the beginning of the end for the Cavs. And like I said, last time LeBron left Cleveland, the team who knocked him out in that postseason was the Celtics. And sports does have a very odd way of working itself out in that way. Okay. And as you know, my pick for this series was Celtics in 7, but I feel like as we get closer to Game 6, I feel like I'm leaning more with Boston for tonight. I figure that Boston's eventually going to get one more road game, don't they? All right. And with Cleveland, I'm thinking maybe it's a matter of they possibly just come out tight and just because of all the pressure and they falter. Okay. My pick for tonight is the Celtics. And I mean, if it came down to Game 7, I'd pick the Celtics again. But if I'm Boston too, I don't really want this to go to Game 7. Of course, you're still guaranteed another game if you lose tonight. But it's a point of you don't want to give LeBron too many chances at beating you. All right. Just given the type of player that he is, which is just ridiculous given the fact that, I mean, when we talk about this Cavs team, we're talking about LeBron and no one else. All right. It's ridiculous how good he is. But nonetheless, I mean, this series has been one where Celtics have surprised a lot. Okay, I saw a lot of people had the Cavs winning in 5 or 6, and I understand that completely. I mean, they go out and sweep the number one seed, then now you're playing a bunch of young guys. I mean, why wouldn't you pick Cleveland? Okay. And with the Celtics, I mean, if Jason Tatum can't get it going tonight, they don't have a shot. You're also going to need a decent performance out of Terry Rozier, who's really struggled this series. All right, seems like he's hit I can't even say Ricky Wall or whatever, but he's hit some type of wall where he's just struggled. All right. So now I guess we just wait for the game tonight. And like I said, I'm not really sure what either coach has planned. I mean, for Game 5, the Celtics rolled out a 7-man rotation just as the Rockets have been doing for their last two wins, where you got Marcus Smart and Marcus Morris coming off the bench, which I think was a good adjustment. Throwing Baines in there into the starting five. I was more so rooting for Smart to make it into the starting five, but I do understand why Brad Stevens threw Baines out there just to throw some more physicality out there against Tristan Thompson, and it did work. Tristan Thompson was pretty ineffective for Game 5. Okay. And as for the Cavs, get Korver on the court. Okay. I don't even think he played the first quarter in Game 5, it was just ridiculous. Like, you're just watching, like, what is this guy doing? All right. Korver needs to play 25-plus minutes, honestly. All right. If anything, have him start. Do something. And then again, you do lose your spark off the bench when you if you insert him into the starting five. But, I mean, it's just a point where you got to find some time for him on the court, okay? What if Brad Stevens doesn't play Semi Ojeley again? You still going to leave Kyle Korver on the bench? And I just can't believe Ty Lue said that. All right. Ty Lue here is coaching for his job. All right. If they don't win tonight, Ty Lue's out. It's going to be a full-on rebuild for Cleveland. Okay. They'll be losing LeBron. They'll be losing Ty Lue. All those other guys, I mean, that's not really a decent team there. So we'll have to wait and see. But like I said, I do got the Celtics winning tonight. It's just as the game gets closer, there's just something telling me to pick them. All right. And when was the last time that LeBron was, besides the finals against the Warriors, on the verge of losing a series? All right. I don't know. Was he ever down in the Pacers series, like as far as elimination games? I don't think so. I'd have to double check. But nonetheless, in recent memory, just off the top of my head, I can't think of the last time. All right. And I think the last time LeBron was down 3-2 to the Celtics was when he was with the Heat. I think that was 2012. All right. I see people bringing that up too, trying to hype up LeBron and all that. There's a difference, all right? The difference is that Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh aren't on this Cavs team. All right, LeBron's number 2 and 3 options on this team is Kevin Love and Kyle Korver. I think there's a big difference there, isn't there? I think so. So, either way, like I said, I got the Celtics winning tonight. I think they're going to pull it off, and that'd just be, it's already a successful season for the Celtics, I feel. I don't think anyone really expected them to get this far without Kyrie Irving. I mean, losing Gordon Hayward in the first 6 minutes of the first game of the season. Daniel Tice tearing his meniscus. Marcus Smart missed some time before the playoffs and during the first round. I mean, this team's dealt with a lot of injuries, but nonetheless, they're one win away, so we'll see what ends up happening. So we're going to wrap it up here. Next up, we're going to be talking about anything else going on in the world of sports, so stay tuned, and I'll be right back.
Are you looking for help for your fantasy football team? Check out the GSMC Fantasy Football Podcast. Get today's best advice on who to start, who to sit, even who you should draft. From sleeper picks to red-hot lineups, they got it all covered for you. That's gsmcpodcast.com/fantasy-football-podcast. We'll cover traditional leagues, dynasty, PPR, even IDP leagues. When you need fantasy help, there's just one show to hit up. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
All right, and welcome back to the GSMC Sports Podcast. Bit of a surprising move today by the Boston Red Sox, all right? I think they're currently tied for first, or at least in first, in the AL East. Been playing pretty well. I think they were the first team to 30 wins this season, too. And they cut Hanley Ramirez, okay? Hanley Ramirez this season hasn't been the most consistent hitter or anything like that. And it seems that with Dustin Pedroia coming back to the team this weekend, it's looking like, of course, you did have to designate someone for an assignment. I figured maybe it'd be someone like Blake Sweetheart, who hasn't really gotten any playing time, given that Christian Vasquez and Sandy Leon have been the catchers. Sandy Leon's only the catcher when Chris Sale pitches, but nonetheless, Christian Vasquez has been the everyday catcher. And it seems that now with the Red Sox, they're trying to make Sweetheart a utility player. So, yeah, they decided to DFA Hanley. All right. And, I mean, I woke up, I saw it, I was shocked. Okay. I was. Given the fact that with baseball, that's a sport where the locker room and all that is very important. As far as, I mean, it's a long season. You're going to be with these guys for the better part of a year, okay? Usually you need the clubhouse loose and all that. All right. Back then, the Red Sox had it with guys like David Ortiz, Manny Ramirez, Pedro when he was there and all that. Okay. And it seemed like that guy was Hanley. All right. And it's not like Hanley was a terrible player or anything like that for the Red Sox. It was just more so he was inconsistent. He'd go on a little nice little stretch where he's hitting the balls about as well as you can. Then he hits a slump and you're pretty much just waiting for him to get out of there. All right, but like I said, I mean, this is one of those moves where, honestly, it could make or break a team, honestly. Okay, I understand, like I said, he's been inconsistent and all that, but there's a point where, like I said, it's the whole clubhouse aspect of it, where you got the guys keeping, pretty much, you got a guy out there who's keeping everyone loose. That was Hanley, okay? I remember for Mother's Day and all that, he had the pink catcher's gear on, just keeping everyone pretty much, like I said, just loose, happy, laughing, and all that. All right, that's pretty much along with his hitting and all that. That's what he brought to the table. But when you got Mitch Moreland hitting around 300, playing about as well as you can be, I mean, I think if he had a certain amount of plate appearances this year, he was due 22 mil next season, and he was going to reach that. Okay, so I guess that's part of the reason why. And this was also Alex Cora's decision too, instead of Dave Dombrowski's. So this is probably Alex Cora's first big decision since he's became the manager of the Red Sox. Unless I'm just completely missing another one. But it's a point where, like I said, I mean, yeah, Hanley's been inconsistent, but you do need that clubhouse presence still. All right, so we'll see if this is something that could hurt the Red Sox. I mean, let me check the standings right now as far as where they're at. I mean, in reality, it's just the top three teams in the AL got to be the Yankees, Red Sox, and Astros. All right, and those are probably going to be one of those teams will be making the World Series. So right now, yeah, the Red Sox are up a game. on the Yankees in the AL East. Right now the Sox are up 34-16, Yankees 31-15. And then you got the Astros who are 33-18. All right. So, like I said, it was a bit of a surprising move. I wasn't expecting it. And looking at all what the Red Sox fans said on social media and all that, they were surprised too. I mean, this wasn't something that you really expected. Like, it wasn't even something that was really even hinted at either. Like, just not even really thought of. Which is, I guess, what makes it a little bit more surprising. All right. But yeah, Dustin Pedroia is activated from the DL. And Dustin Pedroia has been a guy where he spent a lot of the last few years of his career injured. Okay. So now it's just a point of, is he going to be ready to go? And when Dustin Pedroia is healthy, I mean, he's a 300 hitter. He played well. One of the Red Sox best hitters when he's out there. All right. So I think Dustin Pedroia is going to be a nice little addition for them. But like I said, just pretty shocked by the whole Hanley getting DFA'd. All right, that's what's going on there. Let's see. I think we got some golf going on right now. Let's see what tournament. We got the Fort Worth Invitational. All right, Justin Rose is in first at a minus 10. I don't think Tiger's going to be in this one, so there's not going to be too much coverage on it. All right, but nonetheless, I mean, I've been thinking about it. This very well could be LeBron's last game with Cleveland. Okay, it very well might be. And I mean, where does he go after this? If you're a Cavs fan, I'm sure you're still holding on to the hope of him coming back. But in reality, let's go through it, okay? We'll go step by step and see if he does have a chance of coming back. So, why would he come back? Oh, Cleveland's his hometown? False. He's from Akron, okay? As much as Cleveland tries to claim LeBron, he belongs to Akron, all right? LeBron always talks about how he's from Akron. He's not from Cleveland. He's from Akron. He's an Akron kid. All right? He never talks about how he's a Cleveland kid. All right? So that, the whole hometown thing, I mean, I don't even think LeBron considers Cleveland his hometown. It's just maybe 20, 15 minutes over away from Akron, if anything. Okay? Let's see. Does he get along with the owner? Because usually it's a good relationship to have between your owner and the best player on your team. Yeah, I don't even think him and Dan Gilbert are on speaking terms. Okay. How about the team itself? Maybe he's got solid players there. What about the coach? Ty Lue probably will not be the Cavs head coach if they lose this series. All right. And it seems that we kind of know the kind of coach Ty Lue is, given his little rotations and the lineups he's been putting out there. And let me tell you, it's not great. Okay. How about the players? Is there a team set up now to win? I mean, your second best player this postseason has been Kyle Korver. You got Kevin Love. After that, it's just a bunch of veterans. Okay? Whereas, if you were to go to a different team like Houston, you got CP3 and James Harden. The Lakers, by far, have a better supporting cast than the Cavs do. And I'd assume that maybe if you bring in LeBron, you're probably going to be getting a Paul George too. Or you could head over to Philly, where you got Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid, and you can play off the ball more with Simmons. You're not going to need to do the majority of the work. All right, you could actually maybe take a break. You don't got to go 48 minutes in order to help your team win a game. All right, you got other guys who can do it. Maybe a team like Miami. Who knows? All right, maybe he could head back there. Miami would be interesting. All right, they really would. They haven't really been talked about or anything like that, but it seems that, I mean, LeBron's best years of his career came during that time in Miami. All right, it wasn't before when he was with Cleveland, where you're getting bounced in the playoffs year after year. You got swept in the finals once. All right. But nonetheless, I mean, I don't see LeBron coming back, and I don't understand how Cavs fans see him coming back. All right. The fact of the matter is, I mean, he could always come back and retire with the Cavs, but that's not something I really see happening. And if I'm a Cavs fan, I mean, you got to enjoy this last postseason here. Because all you got after LeBron is that 8th pick in the draft. You're probably going to get a Colin Sexton, maybe a Michael Porter Jr. if he falls that far. I mean, maybe you could possibly package that pick in something else, maybe, to go out and get a top player, but I'm not sure really what the 8th pick's going to get you. And I mean, this last couple of years have really just destroyed, I guess, the chances of LeBron staying in Cleveland. From trading Kyrie, okay, pretty much trading away the guys that you got for Kyrie. I mean, it hasn't been great for the Cavs so far. And I mean, tonight, for game six. They're favored by 7, as they should be. I mean, the Celtics have looked like hot garbage on the road. But it's just a point where you got LeBron, who looked tired in game 5. Like I said, he's probably going to have to play 48 minutes tonight. I don't really foresee this as being a game where it's going to be a blowout again. I think it's going to be a closer one. But then again, I did think that game 5, I think, was going to be a close one. All right. So I guess it's just a point where this could be it for LeBron in Cleveland. And I'm very curious to see where he's going to end up. All right, we got to wait all the way until July in order to find that out. All right, but we'll end up seeing. Like I said, be prepared. This could be LeBron's last game in Cleveland. All right, and if LeBron loses to the Celtics, I mean, that's going to take a hit as far as what people think of him as far as an all-time player. I still think either way, he's the best player of all time. All right, I mean, the guy really has no help. But we'll just have to see what ends up happening. So we're going to wrap up the show here. Today we talked Rockets Warriors for game 5. Rockets pulled that one out. But the bad news is they're going to be without CP3 for game 6. And like I said, he's not. There's no way he'll be 100% for game 7. So James Harden's really going to have to pick it up. We talked Champions League final between Liverpool and Real Madrid. Of course, Real Madrid are the better team. But I am going with Liverpool. I'm picking them to win 3-2. Preview tonight's Celtics-Cavs game for game 6. I got Boston winning tonight. My original pick was Celtics in 7, but nonetheless, I don't know, it's just like a gut pick right here as far as picking them. I don't really trust Ty Lue. All right, I think, and all the pressure right here for this game is on Cleveland, so I think that's going to affect Ty Lue big time. All right, and then for the fourth segment, we talked about the Red Sox DFAing Hanley Ramirez. Now he's going to have to find a new home. They activated Dustin Pedroia from the DL, and we also talked about LeBron, this possibly being his last game in Cleveland. So, thanks for listening to the GSMC Sports Podcast. As always, I am your host, Jesse Tapia. Like I said, this is now an everyday show, so instead of next Tuesday, we will be back next Monday. All right? If anything, we'll know who won this Eastern Conference Finals Series, and we could know, I guess, or we could be going into a Game 7 that day, so we'll have a lot to talk about. So thanks for listening. Like I said, we'll be back Monday, so I will talk to you later.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.